Good morning, and welcome to a special half-hour version of KUNM's Performance New Mexico. I'm Spencer Beckwith. There are a dozen or so popular operas that audiences and opera companies are happy to revisit season after season. La Bohème, The Magic Flute, Carmen, La Traviata, Madame Butterfly, Aida. These are works that have come to define our idea of what an opera is or can be. But within the grander scheme of the operatic repertoire are works that are less well known, just as passionately admired, but rarely produced. Works that are waiting for the right production that will finally bring them popular recognition. Such a work is Polish composer Karol Szymanowski's 1926 King Roger. This summer, the Santa Fe Opera, which has been known throughout its 56-year history as a showcase for worthy but little-known works, is presenting the first major American production of King Roger. It opened on July 21st, and it runs through August 14th. This is the first time that an opera in Santa Fe has been sung in Polish. Earlier this summer, during rehearsals for Szymanowski's opera, we had the chance to talk with some of the people involved with the production, outside in the opera's cantina. The star of King Roger, Mariusz Kawiczyn, the conductor, Evan Rochester, Stephen Wadsworth, the director of the production, and the man who is responsible for putting King Roger on the Santa Fe schedule, the general director of the Santa Fe Opera, Charles McKay. And I asked Charles how King Roger found its way onto the schedule this summer.
It found its way onto the schedule for two reasons. Number one, because Mariusz Kawiczyn, this great Polish baritone, loves the Santa Fe Opera. He's been here twice before, once as Don Giovanni and then as the Count in Marriage of Figaro. And so we wanted to find a return vehicle for him. And King Roger was the top of his list. Going back to my own history with this piece, I started listening to an old LP recording of this probably in the 1970s. And it was kind of one of those cult music things that, you know, with my friends who we were all studying music and were very interested in opera, we would listen to King Roger, and just has this incredible opening scene with full chorus and a very exotic, rich orchestration. Ooh. And I always thought to myself, you know, gee whiz, it would be great to see this opera someday. At that time, I had no idea I would ever end up as the general director of the Santa Fe Opera. So when I took over the post, I thought, this would be a perfect opportunity to do King Roger. So I spoke to Mariusz about it, and he said, I would love to do it in Santa Fe. So this is probably going back 4 years. It took about 4 years of planning to put this together. Hmm. The piece is really a symbolist opera. It's more about ideas and this charismatic character, the king, whose kingdom has been visited by a shepherd who seems to cast a spell over everyone, including the queen, Roxana. And it's just a fascinating story in how the king, King Roger, deals with this outside influence. It sort of leaves you with the impression at the end, was the whole thing a dream that King Roger had, or did this all really happen? It's a fascinating piece, and as I say, a great opportunity to hear the world's leading exponent of the role singing it here.
Charles McKay is referring, of course, to Mariusz Kawiczyn. The Polish baritone has been a great champion of Szymanowski's King Roger in Europe. When Mariusz was in Santa Fe in 2008 to sing the Count in The Marriage of Figaro, he mentioned to me that it was his great hope that King Roger would someday be staged in Santa Fe. I reminded him of that comment when we spoke last month.
And I'm so happy, honestly saying, because this opera, first of all, it's Polish, I'm Polish, so it's very important for me to show this wonderful music and great story to the large audience, especially here in America, where I am better known than in many other places. So that's the first reason. The second reason, because the music is just fantastic, it's beautiful. The third reason is because there is so many operas, like Traviata, Rigoletto, Aida, everyone knows the music. music, everyone knows the story, and this is completely unknown. And I'm pretty sure that opera fans, opera lovers, and also people who just come to the opera from time to time, they will really listen to that fantastic music with great pleasure. So those reasons, of course, being Polish and singing in Polish here in Santa Fe is just the most important thing for me.
Well, tell me about that. What is that experience like for you to sing an opera in your native language?
Well, Polish is not a very easy language to sing in. We have so many consonants, not many vowels like Italian language or French. Even German has a lot of vowels. So I know that it can be problematic for some singers to really learn how to sing in Polish and sing it in the proper way. But for me, of course, Polish language, I sing in Polish, I speak in Polish, it's not a huge problem. But for the others, I was worried, and I shouldn't worry really for them, because they are fantastic and they prepared it in such a good way.
And of course, Szymanowski wrote it to be sung in Polish.
In Polish, yeah. And the libretto was wrote by Iwaszkiewicz, who was the closest friend of Szymanowski. And it is very complicated text, poetry, which even for us Polish people sometimes is difficult to understand. And it has always double meanings. So we can play it in many different ways. And we have to just discuss with the stage director and with the other colleagues what kind of production we would like to have, what kind of story we would like to tell to the audience. So it can be played in many different ways, as a religious story, as a political story, as a sexual story. So we just decided for one of those ways, and we will keep it.
It's very open to interpretation, because it's quite a simple story.
It is. The story is not complicated, but this is the problem of the story is the double meanings. Here we try to show some kind of emotional problem of the king, who is weak, who cannot really be the leader of the country. And then comes the person who is just the opposite of him, strong, free, young, full of energy. And the king just simply wants to learn from him somehow how to express yourself in a very natural and honest way. So yeah, that the king is really getting what he deserves.
You mentioned that one of the reasons you were attracted to this work is the chance to introduce to American audiences perhaps one of the greatest Polish operas ever written. How do you describe to friends or to colleagues what this music is like and what Szymanowski has created here?
The music is always, I say, it's a very unique one. We could say it's partly like Salome of Strauss. It's a little bit like Berg, like Strauss, like Korngold. It's a mixture of this 20th century music, the beginning of the 20th century. It was written in 1926. But on top of this, there is some kind of very unique thing which Szymanowski took to his music. It's a folk music from the mountains, from Polish mountains, and the people there, they have a special way of producing the music, playing the music. The harmony is very, very unique, and he is really putting a lot of those wonderful phrases, and the harmony comes from the mountains in Poland, from the music from the mountains in Poland, which is a fantastic mixture, like a fusion of the great music, European music, very unique Polish influences, and also the thing which Szymanowski was based on, the story from Palermo, from Sicily. So we hear also the influence of Eastern rhythms and tones.
Right, a bit of Mediterranean.
Yes, absolutely. Flavor. You can hear it. You will find it in this music. It's a mixture of everything.
You have sung this role before in another production which had two engagements. You're working this time with Stephen Wadsworth. What's that relationship been like, the director-performer relationship?
We've met during my young artist program at the Metropolitan Opera, so it was like 14 years ago. And I remember that time. I admired him very much because of his open mind, and he is not also afraid to try things which we suggest. And exactly like this kind of work we have here in Santa Fe, we are creating something together. Of course, Steven is the master, and he is saying what he sees, what he would like to see. And I like this kind of work, because especially for the productions like King Roger, when the story is simple but in the same way very complicated if you want to play it. in a very original, very interesting way. It's not right. that the stage director is telling, listen, you go left, you sit here, and you speak to your wife. No, we are digesting it. We are contemplating it. We are simply living the life of our characters on stage. Yeah. So what can I say? We have a fantastic maestro here, Evan Rochester, who I've worked with in Houston during the Don Giovanni production. And the combination of those two bosses and us on stage should be a dynamite.
And we'll be speaking with Mariusz Kowiczyn's colleagues in King Roger, conductor Evan Rochester, and director Stephen Wadsworth, when we return. Performance New Mexico this morning is taking a half-hour look at the first major American production of Polish composer Karol Szymanowski's 1926 opera, King Roger, which is on stage this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. I'm Spencer Beckwith. We'll be right back. Leading the orchestra for King Roger this summer at the Santa Fe Opera is the young American conductor Evan Rochester, who is making his Santa Fe debut. Last month, outside in the opera's cantina, I asked Evan what his experience was with Szymanowski's opera before he signed on for this production.
I had not conducted the opera before. I think I might have been chosen because I have a particular affinity for 20th century music, and I performed Bluebeard's Castle of Bartok and Erwartung of Schoenberg, and it's a similar idiom. In fact, I would say that Roger is sort of a combination of Strauss, Bartok, and Schoenberg, and some Berg thrown in. The whole kitchen sink is thrown in. There is the entire gamut of sounds available for the theater, so there's a huge orchestra, Strauss-Wagner-sized orchestra. We are very fortunate to have an enhanced chorus this summer nice. With the Desert Chorale, an extremely talented group of young singers who specialize in precise new music and antiphonal music, and then they're joining the extremely talented apprentices. Right. So altogether we'll be over 60 in the chorus. And when you have those forces combined with the orchestra and then the principals, It's quite exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a chorus. And interestingly, and I think oddly, this opera begins with a piece of choral music.
Right.
Why do you think Szymanowski decided to begin this opera with that kind of music, with
well,
that sound?
He sets each of the acts in a different location, and the first act is set in a Byzantine church. So I think he's approximating the sounds that he would have heard in Eastern Orthodox Church. You know, he grew up actually in what is now known as the Ukraine, which at that time was populated by a lot of Polish gentry. So I think at least that part of the opera is sort of his assimilation of maybe sounds he heard in the Russian Orthodox Church. Also, he made a lot of travels into Sicily and Morocco.
Right, through the Mediterranean.
And was also listening probably to the sounds of church music and the cathedrals in Sicily. So when you hear the beginning of the piece, you wouldn't assume that we're in the 20th century music.
There are, in this story, a lot of opposing forces. Christian versus pagan, and reason versus sensuality. This is reflected in the music that Szymanowski has written for the opera.
Absolutely. I use the word very carefully. There's an oriental aspect to the music that Szymanowski described himself, but he used very carefully. He didn't want to be imitating. And when we're talking about Oriental, we're talking about sort of Arabic Eastern music. And he wrote in letters to his friends that he was not exactly copying a particular style, but there are those elements. And when they mix with the Byzantine church sound and then some lush Strauss and Wagner harmonies, you get this incredible mixture of things that really is completely individual to Szymanowski. You couldn't say, oh, that's another composer. Yeah.
Very distinctive.
Yes.
You have been working in Europe for the past couple of years.
That's right.
Has it been your experience that this opera and Szymanowski's music in general is better known in Europe than it is in the United States?
It's possible to say that because this opera in particular, which he considered his magnum opus, is being performed more and more. I believe in the last 5 years there have been productions in Paris and Madrid and Warsaw again, where the premiere was done. So there is a certain familiarity there. And the symphonies are played occasionally. But I would say, even for Europe, it's not an idiom that an orchestra or a chorus or singers instantly understand. I think the major barrier to why this piece has not been performed as much is that it's in Polish. And that's not usually considered one of the three main operatic languages, Italian, German, and French. So it's a challenge for a company to teach an entire chorus Polish and then to hire a cast that's capable of doing it. It's really remarkable that everyone came to this process so prepared and had enjoyed so much the process of learning to pronounce the language.
Right, and to sing.
Yeah.
In Polish. Were you surprised when you heard that decision had been made to perform it in Polish?
No, I was pleased because I think the language lends a certain exoticism to the music. And I know through my study of other operas that so much of the music, even the rhythm of the way the text is set, but also the way that the instruments reflect the text is based on not only the sounds of the language, but also often, particularly in German, the grammar of the language.
What has your experience been like, Evan, working on this before you got here to Santa Fe, and then the process of being in rehearsal with this opera?
I had the great fortune to have a little bit of time before I came here to make a sort of pilgrimage to Poland and specifically to Szymanowski's mountain retreat where he composed, which is in a town called Zakopane in southern Poland. The setting there is gorgeous. I would call it sort of an alpine landscape. He was never quite comfortable living in the big cities in Krakow and Warsaw, so he always retreated to Zakopane, where, in fact, the first person that brought him there, if I'm correct, is Arthur Rubinstein, who was a great friend of his and a proponent throughout his life.
Wow.
And although the Szymanowski house, the house that he lived in, which is called Villa Atma, meaning the soul, was closed at the time, I had some friendly construction workers, and they let me inside so I could actually be in the space, which I always find very inspiring, even if it's now modern or there's nothing there related to him. Just to see the setting where he composed is very inspiring.
How did you find that trip helped you?
Absolutely. First of all, I was hearing Polish every second, and second of all, those very wide horizons that he saw and the panoramas were inspiring to the type of size of this music. It's extremely lush, gorgeous writing that is rather complex, but after at least one hearing, you just absolutely fall in love with it.
Evan Rochester is conducting the orchestra this summer in King Roger. It's the first opera to be sung in Polish at the Santa Fe Opera. Evan Rochester worked very closely with the director of the production, Stephen Wadsworth. And I asked Stephen Wadsworth to talk a bit about the mysterious relationship between an opera's director and its conductor.
The director-conductor relationship varies, and increasingly, as I've grown in this profession, I've come to feel that it's not appropriate to accept a job unless you have colleagues that you're convinced you can really work with. Evan is a younger colleague who's up and coming, and extremely accomplished technically, and also trained as a singer at Juilliard. Right. So right. He brings that tremendous vocal knowledge and sensitivity, and it actually lives in his body. Plus, I just like him a lot as a person. And he assisted on The Ring the last time I did it in Seattle. I was really impressed, not just by the technical facility, but also by the fact that there's a musical compulsion in him. He was compelled to shape that, sometimes in ways where we'd say, hey, Evan, you, come on back. But what was so fantastic there is that I could see that he could become carried away while not losing a technical command. And I just thought there was something in that that was so particular. And so when we had arrived at a certain point in conversations here, I suggested that he be considered for this job. So it's a good, I would say, a profoundly in sync relationship with conductor.
Wow.
He actually joined my wife and I on our, we went to Italy for our 10th anniversary, and a bunch of friends came through, and he came back from Zakopane in Poland, where he was looking at Szymanowski's house, and he stayed with us for 4 days. And during that time, we spent a lot of time musing and talking in some specifics about the score and the piece and what it was about. And it's very rare that you get a chance to, I should say, that you find a conductor who actually wants to make time to have that conversation. And I'm spoiled. I was mentored by Leonard Bernstein. And everything was a conversation. A rehearsal was a conversation. An orchestra rehearsal was a conversation. He refused to leave home without that conversation. And that was the conversation that contextualized what you're doing, both in your own life and in the life of that person who, or people who made the work of art. So I have enjoyed some of that with Evan, and I feel like as we go through the process, we continue that. That's unusual and very gratifying.
I know you're very busy. You work with the young artists at the Metropolitan Opera. You're also the director of opera studies at Juilliard. You direct frequently at the Met on Broadway last season. Why did you choose to do this particular production?
Well, I find the piece very compelling and fascinating. And I realized when I went to it to give it a listen and to look at the score that the conversation with the piece would be a long one, extending far beyond just this engagement, because it's a piece that asks a lot of questions and doesn't make it its business to answer them or to address them in a simple way. It's a complex poem, the piece, right. And being a poem that is suggesting possible realities or truths or motives for the various characters involved, we needed to answer some of those concerns, and there does need to be an interpretation, but as with everything, my way in is usually to trust the piece, but to buttress it when I feel that it might not be giving enough information or enough clarity to the audience. I would say that my primary preoccupation putting it up is to make a design with the staging that both draws the listener continuously into the world of those four people and also challenges each of them with encounters of one kind or another. At the same time that the score and the story itself does that, but we can do another layer of encounters and in so doing hope to draw people towards some of the issues in the piece without, you know, deciding what they should think about it.
Right.
Really, you know, poems belong to the reader. The theater belongs to the audience. And the more engaged they are, I mean, I certainly use all my craft to keep them engaged if I can, the more engaged they are, the more work they will do in the theater. And that's, you know, I think really why we go.
Szymanowski was very specific about the people in the story. He created about a particular Sicilian king from the 12th century. But you're, if I'm understanding correctly, you're feeling the need not to be quite so specific in terms of how you present the story.
That's true. I mean, we really are presenting it as a story of human beings on a stage, which is essentially a kind of a dance stage. It's extremely spare Not that there are not a lot of rich visual things happening on it, or that the show isn't have a feeling of richness visually, because above us is this tremendous panel that designed by Tom Lynch, which changes during the evening a lot. So it can look flat, it can look more dimensional, it can look a million ways, and it has three basic looks, and even they change quite a bit. So there's a sense of richness, but the main thing is that on the deck we're looking at people. People engaging in a struggle to move forward. So the idea there was to encourage people to hear the music as the soundtrack of what's inside people, not to sort of further decorate music, which is already extremely sort of orchestrally spectacular and all over the place. I mean, it's just the most lush, rich, nuts score you can imagine. Just fantastic. And by the same token, fantastically beautiful, fantastically loud and brash, fantastically dramatic. It's a wonderful piece. And I just didn't want to put a lot of scenery up there that said, you know, look, this looks like the orchestra sounds. I would much rather have all of that intense music be felt by the audience as what's going on inside people's hearts and minds. I mean, as I've worked on it in the last 2 weeks, I have to say I've come to feel that it is one of the top 20, top 25 20th century pieces. It's right up there. It's thrilling.
Stephen Wadsworth talking with us in mid-July outside at the Santa Fe Opera. Stephen has staged King Roger this summer in Santa Fe. This is the first time that a major American opera company has presented this 1926 opera by Polish composer Karol Szymanowski. King Roger gives three additional performances tonight, Friday, August 3rd, next Thursday night, August 9th, and Tuesday night, August 14th. For tickets and more information about King Roger, go to santafeopera.org or call 986-5900. We've been speaking this morning with several of the people involved with this production. In addition to Stephen Wadsworth, we spoke with conductor Evan Rochester, the star of the opera, Mariusz Kowiczyn, and the producer of King Roger, the general director of the Santa Fe Opera, Charles McKay. Thanks to the opera for welcoming KUNM onto the patio at its cantina, and thanks to Tristan Klum for engineering. If you'd like to hear this program again, go to KUNM.org and look for Performance New Mexico. One last question for Polish baritone Mariusz Kowiczyn, what he hoped the future would be for King Roger.
Fantastic big future. I hope that the producers and the directors of the operas, the biggest operas here in America, will discover this music and this libretto as a treasure. And that's why I hope that people who come here to Santa Fe Opera, and I know that it will be many people coming here, they will fall in love with this opera like I did.
For KUNM and Performance New Mexico, I'm Spencer Beckwith. We leave you this morning with a bit of Karol Szymanowski's music from his opera, King Roger. Thanks for listening.